The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Why is this so important? Why did you pick this story? Why does this matter?
This is the news.
And why?
Why?
And why it matters.
Hi, I'm Sarah Gonzalez. Welcome to the news and why it matters. Glenn is out all this week. So, Stu, what is your top story?
I think we all kind of accused CNN of not wanting to look at what the Molly Tibbetts situation really was about, and they turned that around this weekend.
Oh, good. All right, Jason.
The shooting in Jacksonville, it's very similar to other shootings in schools and other places where we're just not taking security seriously, and I want to kind of talk through that a little bit.
This morning it was a shooting in Jacksonville, and then I changed, and now I'm back to the shooting in Jacksonville because there's new information.
Okay. All right. Stu, tell us about CNN.
CNN gets beat up a lot by conservatives, and understandably so, rightfully so many times. However, with this one, we were kind of saying, like, hey, look, Molly Tibbetts, she was killed by an illegal immigrant, and this is a real, we've been talking about this problem forever. You've been ignoring it forever. Can you point out, you know, the truth here, or at least look into it and see what you find? And at first, it didn't seem like they were doing that at all. But then my phone in my pocket went off, and it buzzed, does a little vibrate thing that it does, take it out. And I see the CNN news alert this weekend, and it finally shows us that they have looked deeper into it, and they've discovered the real cause, as you see, running while female. See, the issue isn't, it's not about illegal immigrants. It's about jogging. The real danger here is exercise. And Amen. Exercise, when you go outside, and men apparently are hitting on you all the time as you jog.
The danger is only for me, though, not for you guys.
No, no, we're going to be completely fine.
Yeah, you guys don't have an excuse to not exercise.
Masculinity is toxic, so I don't know. You probably are very, very much a
dude. Yes.
Actually.
It's an amazing article that blames gender, it blames toxic masculinity, the hierarchy, the patriarchy, all the archies, and even to the point where they actually blame jogging and saying that jogging is dangerous for, and no one will acknowledge it. It's not about illegal immigration. That's just, you know, as we all know, a trope for racists.
But to interject, mm-hmm. I kind of am jumping on board this because I don't jog as well as I used to. So if we can all agree that jogging is dangerous, then I think that benefits us all.
I think we could all agree that
it's
exercise
just dangerous for me.
I see what they're doing there.
No. I disagree with that analysis. Exercise in general is very dangerous. We all know that's how people get hurt. People
yes.
can have heart attacks. Look what happened to Harry Reid on that treadmill by himself.
Oh, bam.
Right? So this is a serious issue. And I think, look at how ridiculous this is. Look at some of the quotes here. Listen to how condescending. The reality to most American women that are at risk of situations of Molly Tibbetts found herself in, running and saying no or leave me alone. A survey by Runner's World found that 43% of women reported being harassed by while running. And I want to point out here that CNN is sourcing Runner's World. I mean, first of all, is there any chance that 43% of American women jog? We know right off the bat there's no chance of that, right? Like some of them are 80. Some of them are 4. Like, we know there's no way 43% are actually jogging, let alone, I mean, so 43% of what? People who responded to our Runner's World survey got harassed? I mean, even that seems high. But
and what is harassed?
Yeah, right. I mean, catcalled.
Catcalling is a little different than someone running alongside you trying to abduct
you. And murdering
you.
Right.
That?
A little different.
As they were running by, they said, hey, do you want to debate me on foreign policy?
Yeah, that's right. The Ben Shapiro catcall? Yes. The classic Ben Shapiro pickup line. But it's just, you know, it goes on and on to talk about this, about how, you know, Molly Tibbetts' case brings home for women in the harshest terms, in the ways misogyny hinders their freedom, their very right to exist. The article goes on. I can give you a little more here. Historic underpinnings to the hierarchy. White female runner killed by the foreign savage who plays upon and replenishes existing prejudice. Whether looking at the Jim Crow narratives of white women under threat by black rapists, or more recent examples like the Central Park jogger case, really recent in 1989, and that's a real recent situation. But it has the word jogging in it, so I guess it backs up the article. So the fact that not only would CNN decide to put this on the site, it's a completely ridiculous take. It's a complete hot take from a nonsensical progressive. But the fact that they took time to give a push alert to this, to what, 50 million people who have the CNN app get an alert that jogging is what killed this poor person in Iowa, it's a really ridiculous point, and it shows why the media is not trusted.
My issue with CNN specifically, I get tired of calling out CNN on this stuff. It's getting tiring. But I don't. I hold them to a different standard. Maybe I shouldn't. But
no,
I hold,
lower or higher.
We should be holding them to a higher standard because they claim to be biased. Like I, so MSNBC can report on and can put that stuff out all the time, and I won't call them on that because they're not pretending to be something else.
CNN is claiming to be unbiased. Yes.
Exactly, they are claiming to be something that they're not right now,
right.
And that's why I'm not. You got to hold them to it. They're asking for this, and I think they're getting what they deserve.
Well, even their reference to Jim Crow. If you don't know, back in the day, they would show, and William Randolph Hearst was big about this because he was a racist, show black men drawn as monsters attacking white women. Mm-hmm. And we know that that's not what this is. I'm pretty sure that any woman who doesn't want to be raped really doesn't want to be raped by anybody. It's like, I'm okay with being raped by that person or maybe that race.
That's not how that works.
This one.
No, it's true.
And rape bad.
Yeah. You know? And they just kind of, we're in this weird cycle where everyone wants to take what you thought about a story and turn it around on you. Like CNN says, that's not about illegal immigration. It's about jogging. They had another story that said, it was another piece they ran that said, in Iran, death to America doesn't always mean death to America.
Huh.
What does it mean? The New York Times had one that said, Stormy Daniels, a feminist superhero. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, we're now getting this world where we're just taking, and this is what Glenn's been talking about. It's in his new book, Addicted to Outrage. It's this postmodernism approach where everything you think you know that's solid is changed into something liquid right in front of your eyes.
CNN had another one about the terrorist camp out in New Mexico, the compound, that really focused on their living off the grid. It was like, times are tough living off the grid.
Oh, blame the preppers. That's a great angle.
Right. How about they still haven't mentioned the guy was a terrorist and they killed a child?
Yeah.
Oh God. It's not the right approach. They should just be, you know, they had that commercial that came out a while ago with the apples and the bananas, right? Mm-hmm. And that first commercial was like, hey, this is an apple and this is a banana. Don't let anyone convince you that this is a banana or whatever it was. And the point was, hey, facts are facts. We're going to lay them out even if it's uncomfortable. Even though I don't think CNN hits that approach, or hits that standard a lot of the time, it's a great approach for a news organization. That's how they should think. The follow-up commercial, though, was different. The follow-up said, here's an apple, and when you get a bunch of apples, you made a case. Well, a news organization should not be making a case against someone. That's what lawyers do. That's what talk show hosts do. That's what people who have opinions do. But a news organization should not be trying to form a case, and I feel like that is their approach way too often lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jason and Doc, let's talk about the story in Jacksonville.
If you have updated
I think we need to hear your updated information.
Yeah, so
first.
The information is now they're reporting that the kid, the 24-year-old who they believe is responsible for this, had actually sought or received mental health treatment as a teenager at least twice, had been prescribed antidepressants, and some of it had to do with, they believe, the difficult split between his parents. Apparently, they had a difficult divorce. Even so far as the treatment that he was seeking or the doctors gave him, the father didn't believe he needed, you know, antidepressants, wasn't that seriously mentally ill, and debated all of that. So it was a pretty contentious divorce, and he had at least twice sought and received medical.
Was he still on the medication?
Treatment.
Do we know that?
We don't know that.
I would
or
be
I
really
seen it
curious
reported.
To see that.
Which the next question is, how the heck did he get a gun? Because you have, and especially in Maryland, I think they have some pretty strict laws. I think even including magazine laws to where they have to be a certain, you know, amount. So I haven't seen anybody asking questions on where he actually got this gun. You can't just go down to Florida and just purchase the gun. Right. You know, in a couple of days before you do this.
There was, I'm trying to think of who, there's a blogger, and I can't remember his name, but he has a couple hundred thousand followers. We mentioned this morning on the air. It's Tariq something or other. At any rate, he mentioned the real problem with this shooting. It's not mental health, whatever. It's white supremacists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
That the gaming community is a hotbed of recruitment for white supremacists. And even if it is, even if that's, I mean, if you're going to target young males, where do you find them today? You're going to, you know, go to the AARP website, you know, the blogs there. No, you're going to target gaming communities. That's fine. But what about the shooting said racism?
Right.
Did the kid say, was race anything to do with it?
One of the fatalities, there were two fatalities. One of the fatalities was a black man.
Right. So.
And one white.
Yeah,
one white,
so, yeah.
And then plus the shooter. Yeah, because, I mean, we haven't shown the video or played any of the audio, but, I mean, it's obviously out there. And, I mean, you see the two players, and you see the red dot go on the guy's chest. I mean, you have to assume he was one of the guys who was killed. I mean, it's
awful.
I mean, awful. And you have to, I mean, just watching it, if you're, you know, a video game person, and in this, like, you know, you're watching this stuff all the time on Twitch, and this is, you know, kind of, you know, ruling your life enough that you're good enough at Madden to be able to go and win tournaments, you know, he probably wanted that to be caught by those cameras. And thank God it wasn't. I mean, you know, the really tiny, tiny sliver of positive, I guess you could take out of this is at least he didn't get exactly what he wanted, because, I mean, it was a sec. I mean, the camera cuts and the first shot goes. I mean, it's that close. Thankfully, you know, that was not seen. It's just an amazing, it's an amazing thing. I've been to a couple of Madden tournaments in my life, you know, where like real NFL players will play, and it's a, you know, you think about it. From the mind of a person who wants to kill a bunch of people, it's terrifying. It's a bunch of people. It's a really crowded room. They're all facing a screen, all facing the same way, all watching something. I mean, you know, without real security, it really can have these incidents can happen often.
And having it in a gun-free zone. I mean, you have a gun-free zone and lack of security, you're just, I mean, you might as well be waving, you know, signs and flags and lights just telling people, come here if you want to do something terrible.
And that's my point. No one is serious, whether it comes to schools, whether it's, mm-hmm. you know, malls, or for crying out loud, malls. I cannot believe this. So I will not go to a mall. I will not go to the Grapevine Mills Mall in Dallas-Fort Worth because of that huge sign. Yeah. It's plastered on every single entrance over there.
Yeah.
You're just screaming for someone to go in there because it's a prime target. I know this from my previous two jobs, that shopping malls are within the top three or so targets for radical Islamists.
Every time I feel like there's something that I need to get there, that I have to go to a mall, I'm always on high alert. I'm always anxious. I really am. And I'm like, this is a sad state of affairs. I can't even go into a mall without being worried that someone's going to plan some attack.
So my last job, we did a threat assessment study, and it included one of the leading minds in like combat psychology and protecting people. And his assessment was, if we ever do see some kind of martial law, there will be a coordinated attack when terrorists target schools and at the same time target shopping malls. Mm-hmm. What are the last two things that the last two attacks? We just saw that there was a terrorist encampment out in the desert where they were training, jihadists were training kids to attack schools. We also saw, we've seen multiple attacks at shopping malls. Mm-hmm. Now think about if five or six of these happen all across the country all at once. Elementary schools, heaven forbid, and shopping malls. Think about the response, and that's exactly what they want. They want the heavy-handed response, and we're not serious about it. We're just not.
I mean, and think about the dynamic this sets up for people. Here is, we all know that the person who's going to murder someone doesn't care that it's a gun-free zone, so they bring their gun in there, and they start shooting, and so you go and you hide under the desk. You go and hide behind the couch wherever you can. And in that moment, what are you thinking? What are you praying for? You, at that point, are forced to pray for someone else breaking the law. Someone, some other outlaw to be in the room who didn't care about the gun-free zone and can maybe help you. You know, the fact that we have to put our own citizens in a situation where they have to pray that someone else is breaking the law in the same room with them to hopefully stay alive is completely ridiculous. These gun-free zones have to go away.
And to that point, NRA members and most CHL holders, concealed handgun license holders, are law-abiding. Yep. So they're not going to do that in that scenario. Yeah. They're just not.
No, they're not. They're going to keep the guns out. And then these places that have customers coming to them, and they're paying for their salaries, they're paying their rent, they're frequenting their businesses, and these businesses are putting them up for real harm. They are putting them in danger by these policies, and they make no sense. There's no statistical evidence that they improve the situation at all. It's a real problem.
But if you're going to, I don't agree with it, but if you're going to have these gun-free zones, at least off of your rationale, provide security to adequately protect the people in your establishment, whether that's in a special event, which is ridiculous. How many nightclubs do you go into when you get fully padded down? Mm-hmm. It was a country bar not too long ago that I went to. You get padded down.
Yeah.
Some of them have metal detectors. They don't do this to an event that they've advertised in advance, where personalities or celebrities within their groups.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one time when you might even provide personal protection at some of these things.
And you know what that means? The price of all those things go up, so we all pay more for it.
Well, I mean, but I would pay more for my own security.
I'd rather just keep my own gun, though.
Obviously, that's the ideal situation. Yeah. But when you see that, 98% of mass shootings occur in gun-free zones.
But their rationale is you don't have to protect yourself because we're going to protect you for you. Right. But they're not even doing that.
Yeah. I mean, this guy goes to this place and knows there's a lot of variables he can't predict. But one thing he does know is no one's going to fire back at him. Mm-hmm. He's going to be able to go in there and do whatever the hell he wants until police show up. And that could be 5 minutes, it could be 10 minutes, it could be 20 minutes. I mean, thankfully he killed himself, honestly. I mean, at least it ended before, who knows how many people could have actually died. But again, we're just leaving people really vulnerable, and it makes no sense.
Go on the website of this place really quick. It says on their website that it's a gun-free zone. Yeah. So just think how easy it is for people to research that and find that out. Mm. It's ridiculous.
All right, back in a minute.
Hey, it's Doc Thompson. If you like what you hear on the program, you should check out Pat Gray Unleashed. The podcast is available wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Tiger Woods was interviewed, when was it, over the weekend?
Yes.
Okay, and he was asked some pretty... that reporter really, really wanted to get some information out of him.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all want to know what every athlete thinks about every political situation because that's why we go to them. They're all very highly trained in political science. And we want to make sure we get there and get every opinion about every single issue all the time because they can't just play sports and have fun and do the things that they want to do. It's actually kind of this, I feel like there's a good side-by-side here between Tiger Woods and Jemele Hill, the ESPN anchor, who was basically fired this weekend because she couldn't just stop. All she wanted to do was talk politics. Like, you're on a sports network.
Well, it's ESPN.
Yeah, I know. And
the way it should be.
Right. And they're supposedly trying to turn that around a little bit. And Jemele Hill is like the biggest example. But like, do you want Jemele Hill who's talking about politics all the time, or do you want Tiger Woods? I know I want Tiger Woods. Here's what Tiger had to say this weekend when asked about Trump.
Well, he's the president of the United States, and you have to respect the office. And no matter who's in the office, you may like, dislike, personality or the politics, but we all must respect the office.
Do you have anything more broadly to say about the state, I guess, the discourse of race relations?
No, I just finished 72 holes and really hungry.
I'm hungry.
Hey. I'm really hungry. I gotta go.
How about my performance? Why don't we talk about that? That's ridiculous.
The second question he got there was about whether you had any broad comments about race relations. He's like, nah, I'm hungry.
Anything at all. Anything really broad. It can be broad. It doesn't have to be nuanced.
Yeah, I want the Tiger Woods approach. I mean, Tiger, to his credit, has been this way for a very long time. I mean, he wants to focus on his craft. This is why he's there. And like, look, there's nothing wrong. I don't agree with every complaint about kneeling at anthems and everything else. I mean, a lot of that, like, look, if you want to be that person, you can be that person, I guess. I don't agree with your rationale, and a lot of the stats don't back you up. But if you want to make those stands, I mean, you're absolutely, everyone has free speech. You're allowed to go, to make these stands and do the things that you want to do. But I mean, shouldn't you choose not to? Now, Tiger, a long time ago, had a controversy about race where someone who played at a golf magazine, and they, she said something that was a little racially insensitive about him, and everyone was going to Tiger and was like, oh my God, I can't wait to hear what Tiger's going to say, because Tiger's obviously going to wreck this person. It's going to be a big controversy. And he was just like, you know what? I know her. We've been traveling for many years, and we've been on the tour. I'm sure it was just a mistake, and it's no big deal. Like, every other athlete in the world, I think, would have taken that opportunity to be able to say, I get to make a racial point and look really like I can signal all my virtue to everyone. And he's just like, look, I'm here to play golf, probably a good person, probably made some dumb joke, some mistake, and that's it. That is the way, God, if we could get there on Twitter, it would be a miracle for this country. But, you just don't always have to jump to the worst possible conclusion. It's okay that he plays golf with Donald Trump, and it's okay that Tom Brady does, and who cares? Like, people are individuals. Let them make up their mind. If you want to go watch them play sports, then watch them play sports.
Yeah. Doc? We should lower the voting age to 16.
No, we shouldn't. No. We shouldn't. There were a lot of people discussing that over the weekend for some reason, including a gentleman who was big with the David Hogg, Parkland kids. His name is Nate Tinbit, and he posted this. I vaguely remember him being on stage. I don't think he spoke during the Second Amendment, anti-Second Amendment march in March in D.C. But this was his his tweet.
Why do they always do that? Do it like the same thing 20 times in a tweet?
Because that's when you're something really important.
Really matters. Really matters.
Well, but he had me at the last one. Yeah. Like all of the lines. Yeah.
Five of them. I was like, oh,
you keep
six.
Reading
no,
it.
There,
yeah.
Is it old and busted to just go all caps?
I think
you know,
it is.
Like, yeah, it's old and busted.
So. Oh, okay. So anyways, I saw this, and we invited him on the broadcast.
By the way, hold on for the podcast. I just want to make sure it's clear. He's just repeating lower the voting age to 16.
Ooh, yeah,
just, and there's like 10 lines of it.
Yeah, lower the voting age to 16. Lower the voting age to 16. Anyway, so we invited him on the broadcast, and he was on with us this morning.
Yeah.
And I treated him with respect, as I do anybody that we invite on that we disagree with something like this.
Unlike everyone who already works here.
Yes, now you get no respect, because I already know you people. But I just asked him why, and he made a lot of really solid, articulate points, ironic, that basically all had to do with, well, if you lower the voting age, they'll be more engaged. And when they've done that in some areas, which I didn't realize there was part of Maryland, apparently they lowered it in some areas for like school board and stuff to 16, that they were all really, really engaged. And I was like, that's great that they're more engaged and they may grow on, but there's another reason you don't want it to be 16. What about experience and knowledge and stuff? And he said, nah, they're doing so much right now. I mean, look at the Parkland kids. You know, the old folks haven't done it. We're going to do this. And I said, well, what about 14? Could we lower it to 14? No, 14's not it.
No, that's stupid. You said, moron.
Why not 14? And he kind of hemmed and hawed, but basically they're just too immature at 14.
Ah, so
I mean, 16 though.
That's huge. Yeah. I mean, they're eating Tide Pods, and a vast majority of them think the Earth is flat.
Right.
We want them voting on the Second Amendment.
Now, I give him credit. He was willing to come on, even Debbie Wasserman Schultz won't, Chuck Schumer won't, none of these people will. Alyssa Milano won't. We've invited her on. All of these people, but he was willing to discuss it, and I give him credit for that. And he was more articulate than most of them.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think honestly we have a problem of too much engagement.
I was going to say the same,
which is like, you know, people are constantly focusing on politics all the time. They're tweeting all their personal hours away on politics. It's not solving anything. I mean, there's an argument. Jonah Goldberg is famously asks for the voting age to be increased, release it back to 21. I think it should be whatever. You can only vote for the office if you're old enough to hold it. So 35 for president, and you can go on down. You can vote for lower offices as you kind of come on down, but you got to get to 35 to vote for president. That would be kind of interesting. But I do think that there's that issue of, it's not just, we talked to someone from Reason a few weeks ago, and he was talking about how in the 2000 election, the problem was, hey, get out to vote, get out to vote, get out to vote. We're at the other side of that now. Too many people think they know enough to vote when they don't.
Yes.
And it would be much better if you instead of going to the voting polls this year, read. Yeah. Read something that's long.
Too much engagement coupled with not enough facts.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Back in a minute.
Up next, enjoy bonus overtime content from the News and Why It Matters. Available exclusively for podcast listeners and Blaze Premium subscribers. Become a premium subscriber at theblaze.com/subscribe.
Jason, Democratic socialist running for Congress in New York, is it?
Yes, state senator.
Julia Salazar has a curiously shifty background. You did some research over the weekend?
Yeah, I wish we could make overtime segment like my takedown of whatever Democratic socialist is currently saying stupid things.
I mean, that's a little bit self-absorbed,
like
but okay.
Yeah, but it's
you're
so
hired.
Fun.
You're hired.
Hold on.
This segment, I'm just going to call it mine now, which is usually reserved for Ocasio-Cortez. But she actually said something semi-intelligent in a tweet, so I'll lay off of her.
A news show's like, she actually said something semi-intelligent, breaking news.
Yeah, it was breaking news the one time, and what's funny is all of her people killed her for saying that.
Yes.
But she basically just, she was kind to John McCain. So I'm going to leave her alone. But Julia Salazar.
Hold on. Is that just for today you're leaving her alone, or is that just...
Oh, just for today.
Just today. Just 24-hour...
Classy, man.
Five to ten minutes. Okay. You know, something like that. Okay. So Julia Salazar, she has been doing tons and tons of interviews lately. She's really getting that kind of Ocasio-Cortez fame going. And she's considered one of these up-and-coming Democratic Socialist rising stars. And she did an interview in, I think, Jacobin Magazine. She did one in, The Intercept. She did a ton lately. Tablet Magazine, that's one, right? Yeah. But in that, she makes some claims. So she says that she's a Jew of color, And that she says that she was an immigrant, that she was brought over from Colombia with her parents when she was a small child. And so that's kind of her background. So similar to how Ocasio-Cortez claimed that, you know, she was, you know,
Brooklyn
just
girl.
Jenny from the block, you know what I mean? And then she grew up in a somewhat affluent, you know, neighborhood in upstate New York, mm-hmm. right? Anyway, so this was her claim. Now, this is what kind of is getting her, you know, this is how she's appealing, you know, to immigrants and to people like that. Well, so digging into that a little bit, people have found out that, wait a minute, a lot of other times it's been reported that, you know, where she was born in Miami. And some other people were like, well, she's a naturalized citizen. And yeah, but so was she born in Miami or was she brought over as a baby? Well, so there was this huge controversy over the weekend. And so she decided she was going to respond to it. And her response was, his official response was, look, this has been a whirlwind campaign. I can't be responsible for managing all of my people. A mistake was made by basically a junior person doing the website. And they accidentally said that I was brought over from, you know, that I'm a Jew and that I was brought over from Colombia.
Questionable, but reasonable. Could be true. You know, right. Could be just a mistake. Those things happen.
If only we had footage of her saying this, you know, herself. Could we roll that beautiful bean footage?
I am a Jew of color. Many people aren't familiar with this term, but I'm a Colombian American and I'm also Jewish. And Jews for Racial and Economic Justice and the movement that many of us are in has empowered me to say that proudly. Growing up, I was told to lower my expectations by society. I immigrated to this country with my family when I was very little in Colombia.
Brought over when she was very little from Colombia.
Yeah. Hold on. When's the last time you were in Miami? It could be very confusing.
But she specifically said brought over. This is something you should know. Okay, so her official response basically is a flat-out lie.
Well, how can you expect her to remember that far back? I mean, you don't remember when you're a baby, Jason.
You know where you were born, for crying out loud. I was born in Antlers, Oklahoma, for crying out loud.
That's what tell you.
So she was caught in this lie. So she was born in Miami. We now know that for a fact. She was born in Miami. The fact that she was a Jew of color also is something that's kind of interesting. So apparently, she's claimed to be a Jew, but everybody in her family thinks that they're all Catholic and Christian. Everybody. They talked to her brother, who said that her uncle is a Jesuit Catholic priest. They found out that her father was buried and had a service in a Catholic church. No one seems to know in her family where this Jewish thing is coming from. That is the Jewish question on Julia Salazar right now.
And Colombian background, not a hotbed of Judaism. I mean, it's not.
No.
It's primarily Christian and Catholic at that.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
So we just happened to track down an interview that she gave back in 2012. Okay, so before we're starting that up, we'll set that up. Democratic Socialists are running on this platform of pretty much anti-Israel, very pro-Palestine, and that fits up with some things in 2014. And I think we have an article here that I found that she was actually arrested in New York City at an anti-Israel protest. There she is, Julia Salazar, is one of the nine that were arrested getting violent at this anti-Israel protest. Mm. So she's been getting groomed towards going towards this platform for at least, the last 4 years.
Wow.
Now, we just found an interview that she did, I think, when Glenn was in this building. Can we see what her views were back in 2012?
What is it you're learning and what is it you hope to do and go back to your campuses and accomplish?
Well, I'm the president of QFI and campus at Columbia, which just became official this year. And our biggest focus is just on educating the community about the truth about Israel. And not only that, but the truth that the Palestinian Authority, that Hamas, that their allies, such as Ahmadinejad, that they present to the state of Israel, and not only that, but to the United States. So our goal really is just educating the Columbia community about the truth and combating the lies that they may hear in the classroom or otherwise.
Wait, what? So she was part of CUFI, Christians United for Israel. And her whole thing was that she was taking that to the campus of Columbia to teach everyone that everyone's been lying to them in Columbia that Israel is bad and people like Hamas and Iran are good. That was her job. So she was a pro-Israel, part of Christians United for Israel. Just in 2012. And 2 years later, she was getting arrested for getting violent on Israel, and now she's part of a stance that's very anti-Israel.
At least that explains one other thing, though. She went to Columbia. Now you understand the confusion where she immigrated from.
Yes.
I came over from Columbia University.
See, you should be doing her PR. That works so much better.
It's better than her excuse.
Difficult.
Unbelievable. So there was some breaking news this afternoon. I know that there are still more details coming out on it. I didn't get a chance to read the entire judge's decision, but last time we left off with the 3D printed guns case, of course, there was a temporary restraining order on the original decision in order to give the judge time to decide whether to issue a preliminary injunction because there were like 19 states who sued. So a U.S. judge in Seattle today, this afternoon, blocked the Trump administration Monday from allowing Cody to put the plans online, to put the blueprints on how to do this gun online. So part of the decision, the judge wrote, I just want to just read this verbatim. The court declines to wade through these issues based on the limited record before it and instead presumes that the private defendants have a First Amendment right to disseminate the CAD files. That right is currently abridged, but it has not been abrogated. So, in his decision to issue the preliminary injunction, he says his First Amendment rights are currently being abridged. But that's okay, because they haven't been repealed completely. Even though the actual text from the Bill of Rights, this is an actual document that exists, and it says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech.
Incredible. He actually used the exact words.
And said that it was okay.
That's amazing. If the right is being abridged, it's over.
No, not according to the judge.
Unless it's abrogated.
Right. So now.
That's the standard for the First Amendment. Any ruling, and think how many times throughout history the Supreme Court has ruled on your freedoms being abridged, even a little bit when it comes to the First Amendment. He's saying that unless they completely erase the First Amendment, then you're good to go.
Right. Yeah.
So you can abridge it up until the nth degree.
Right. Apparently, you can abridge someone's freedom of speech as long as the First Amendment is still written on paper, then that's okay. I mean, it's absolutely incredible.
Doesn't make any sense. I was just reading like one of the last lines said that the First Amendment rights were dwarfed when you looked at the irreparable harm. Yeah, was it the First Amendment rights are dwarfed by the irreparable harm the estates are likely to suffer?
That's not a factor. They do that crap all the time. They've looked at English law, all kinds of things, and that's the standard. Well, look at what it would do to society. Not the point. Rule on the constitutionality and be done with it. Mm-hmm. That's your job. No one said, let's pick you as a judge to decide what's good for society or not. That is not the standard.
Mm. Yeah. I would hope that this, gets appealed and tossed.
So infuriating.
But, All right. So I just wanted to ask you guys if you have picked up any of your new men's lingerie.
This is such a fail. It's a thing now. It's not a thing.
Yes. No, it is a thing.
It's not a thing.
There is a company who is selling lacy bras for the male who wants to wear something a little more sexy under his clothes. I know your wives are going to be totally into this. I'm telling you. So... if that's not enough, men can also get their own silk nighties, baby dolls, and body suits. Now, the bras don't actually come with cup sizes, but there are some padded options available if you want just like a little
bit of
a
boost. It's very frustrating that they don't come with additional, like greater cup sizes.
Right?
Or some.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Not us. We're in good shape.
So,
anybody at all come to mind?
Jeffy?
Okay.
But you can imagine that picture, only with Jeffy modeling it?
Yes, I can.
I would like to not.
I don't think the article would be written.
But so, according
to close the internet if that actually happens.
According to the website, it's not just the men who love to wear these, the women love it too.
Sorry, we'll defer to you on this.
No, that's actually not true.
You're getting married at the end of the year?
Yes.
At honeymoon?
That is not happening.
The wedding gift?
That would be an instant divorce.
You know, the fact that you brought
instant
this up,
divorce.
That's the wedding gift.
He's in my ear. He just said hard no. Hard pass. All right, so the Blaze Y comes from Saves84 today. And for those of you who are listening on podcast, I'll just tell you, he tweeted out a picture and it says, how to get a cat to like you. It's an article. And he's asking, why would anybody want this? My answer is because cats are clearly greater than dogs. This is just a scientific fact. It's been proven time and time over that, you know, it, cats.
No, the only answer to that is if you're trying to woo a cat lover.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Am I right?
Yep.
You're courting, you're trying to woo a cat lover. Then the problem becomes if you end up with them, then you have to deal with
like,
that
for
cat.
For example, your fiance hates cats. He told me 1,000 times, but he knows you like them. So.
No, that's not true.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not true at all. Right, he's going to be honest with you about
it. Right.
All right, today's poll, we're just going to go ahead and stick with docs because I know that you asked this question this morning. We've been talking about Nate, whatever his name was,
Tinbit.
Should the voting age be lowered to 16? I'm quite sure that the majority, overwhelming majority of you will say absolutely not, but just want to go ahead and make sure that everyone is participating in this very scientific poll.
Is there an age cutoff for this voting?
That's a great point.
That's a really great question. Sorry. I don't know that Twitter allows that.
Oh, okay, maybe they should. I'm just
they can add that to the algorithm. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Really? No male lingerie for you guys?
Like what you're hearing? Become a Blaze Premium subscriber and watch the show anytime, anywhere, live or on demand. Go to theblaze.com/subscribe and start watching today.